Hello, Green Bay Packers fans. Your Green Bay Packers are headed for the Super Bowl behind a victory in the NFC Championship game over the Chicago Bears 21-14. Soak it in, folks. This is what you've been waiting for since the last time the Packers went to the Super Bowl in 1997. Can you believe it? After all the early season injuries, Ryan Grant, game number one of the season, Jermichael Finley, not long thereafter, and just a slew of others, perhaps less crippling, but still hurt nonetheless. Nick Barnett, Brandon Chiller, Mike Neal, you name it. If I tried to name them all, I'd leave somebody out for sure. But the Packers moving on to the Super Bowl. Enjoy it, folks. Enjoy every second of it. What we're going to do on the show today, I'm your host, Brian Caravu. As always, feel free to tweet with the hashtags Railbird. I'm sorry, today, the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through to the blog. Or, as always, use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. What we're going to do is recap some of the scoring, go through some of the statistics, and then we're going to turn it over to you. We're going to celebrate here on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. And I have once again, this is the sound of victory, folks. That's a cold one right there to the Green Bay Packers. Going back to the Super Bowl, they're heading to Dallas, Texas. They're going to be taking on the winner of the AFC Championship game. We have yet to find out who that is. We will find out shortly. The winner of the game between the Pittsburgh Steelers or the New York Jets. And I'm just taking a look at the live blog right now. Live for GB says Green Bay really needs the extra week to rest, and they do. They came away with some injuries from this game. Dinged up a little bit. Linebacker Eric Walden didn't return to the game. Chad Clifton goes out at a point. He returns. Clay Matthews seemed to be hurting at the end. Aaron Rodgers took his fair share of hits today. Nothing that seemed that you would lose a player for the season, perhaps, but the extra week helps, no doubt about it. I've said it before, I'll say it again. What a resilient team. What a resilient team. That's the motto for the way they play football game by game, and it's the motto for the season, overcoming injuries. It was not a pretty game today, was it? But I don't think people care what it looked like. Just the fact that they won the game. The defense coming through in a big-time way. Sam Shields has to be your MVP for the game. Two interceptions and a sack. The interceptions could have come at no bigger time. Sam Shields, just amazing. Just amazing play from the undrafted rookie today. Does it get any bigger than that? I doubt it does. Recapping some of the scoring today. Packers get on the board first in the first quarter, and Aaron Rodgers' one-yard touchdown run on a bootleg on the fake with B.J. Raji in the game as a lead blocker. Packers go on top 7-0 at the 10:56 mark in the first quarter. Second quarter, Packers go up by two scores. James Starks gets on the board with a four-yard touchdown run. The Mason Crosby extra point is good, making it 14-0 Packers, 11-19 into the second quarter. The game would go into halftime at the same score, and that would actually be it until the fourth quarter. Stalemate in the third quarter. In the fourth, the Bears get on the board for the first time. A Chester Taylor one-yard touchdown run cuts the lead in half, 14-7. Packers still lead. In the 12 mark of the fourth quarter, B.J. Raji, the freezer, with an 18-yard interception return for a touchdown. Packers make it a two-score game, go up by 21-7 at that point. The Bears come back, try to make it interesting. Earl Bennett gets a 35-yard touchdown pass from Caleb Haney, makes it 21-14 Bears, but that is it. A Sam Shields interception in the waning seconds of the game, and after that, it's just a touchdown formation, victory formation for the Packers as they kneel it down and ice the victory and move on to the Super Bowl. Two more weeks, folks. Two more weeks of Packers football. Oh, it doesn't get any better than this. It does not. Two more weeks to soak it in, to live football for another 2 weeks. When you get to this point in the season, it feels so good to be talking football. You know, when your team's eliminated, there's no more football every night of the week with college football and all the rest of the NFL teams eliminated except for two. I mean, there's nothing to talk about in football. And if you're like me and the people who are watching the show and on our live blog, you want football to last forever. And at least we get two more weeks of it here if you are a Green Bay Packers fan. Some of the individual statistics today, they weren't all pretty, but like I say, a win's a win. In the passing department, Aaron Rodgers completes 17 of 30 passes for 244 yards, zero touchdowns, and two ugly interceptions. At least the one of them was really ugly to Brian Urlacher, for a passer rating of 55.4. But, Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure, is just happy to be moving on and leading his team to the promised land, or a shot at the promised land, at least. James Starks is your leading rusher for the day. 22 carries, 74 yards, 3.4 yards per carry. Gets his first career touchdown in the second quarter of today's game. Pretty solid performance. Found a little tough sledding in the second half of the game. The first half looked a whole lot prettier for James Starks. But he does well no matter what. Aaron Rodgers is the second leading rusher. 7 carries for 39 yards. 5.6 yards per carry. Also gets a touchdown. The first touchdown of the day. Looked very good on his scrambling several times throughout the course of the game. 5.6 yards per carry. Brandon Jackson, 2 carries for 5 yards. Of course, he had 1 carry in the first half that got 10 beautiful yards for a first down for Brandon Jackson. That was it till the second half when he had 1 carry for negative 5 yards on the 5-yard tackle for a loss by Brian Urlacher. That wasn't quite as good. John Kuhn, 1 carry for 2 yards. In the receiving department, Greg Jennings, 8 catches for 130 yards, your leading receiver in the day, both in terms of receptions and yards. And Greg Jennings, as the video game goes, Greg Jennings putting the team on his back. Jordy Nelson, 4 catches for 67 yards. And the rest of the Green Bay receivers all have 1 catch. Brandon Jackson, 1 for 16. James Jones, 1 for 10. Donald Driver, 1 for 9. John Kuhn, 1 for 6. James Starks, 1 for 6 as well. And with that, I'm here to open up the phone lines. Give it over to you. Let everybody celebrate. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. You want to analyze the game that's just over. You want to talk about the Super Bowl. You just want to call in and cheer, you can do that too. I'll put the phone number up on the screen. Phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Phone lines are open. Feel free to call in, folks. And let's bask in the victory. This is a Green Bay Packers blog, Green Bay Packers website. For the most part, nothing but Green Bay Packers fans here. It's time to celebrate. Time to take it all in. I'm almost a little bit disappointed. I can't watch the post-game show. I can't even watch him lift the Halas trophy here. That's all right. I'm having just a good time talking to everybody else here and soaking this in, if you will. Celebrating. We are on Skype. The phone number, again, 646-797-2909, MexPack. If you want to call in, you can Skype us as well. So you should be able to get through with that phone number, even over the internet on your PC, I would hope. But wow, just wow. Ugly, ugly game from the offense today. Packers just had a ton of opportunities to put this game away a lot earlier than they did. It came down to the waning minutes of the fourth quarter, but the Packers had a lot of time before that to ice this game. You know, they had the ball at the end of the first half with about a minute and a half remaining, got the kickoff, and had a chance. I'm sorry, it wasn't a kickoff, it was a punt. Had a chance to put some more points on the board. Got the ball at about midfield following a punt. Tremont Williams got it. You know, I'd say it was around the 40, and the Packers had a couple timeouts and about a minute and a half on the board, and they had a chance to add to their 14-0 lead. You know, even a field goal before halftime would have been nice. But they throw the interception to Brian Urlacher. That came later. But the Packers, though, you know, had the chance before halftime and didn't come through. Didn't come through. But Sam Shields gets the interception right before half, before the Packers then kneeled down in their own first half victory formation, but just kneeling it down before halftime, and it could have been worse heading into halftime, and again, once the second half began, they had many more chances as well. You have that Brian Urlacher interception in the third quarter, the ugly one by Aaron Rodgers that came on the 1 yard line, I think it was. And that was another one that could have put the game out of reach for the Packers. Instead, the Bears end up scoring, Chester Taylor eventually, and you know, B.J. Raji ends up getting the interception, and that, for all intents and purposes, might have iced the game. It came down to the end, but B.J. Raji's interception for the freezer, for the big guy, was a huge moment. Now, the one thing I'm interested in here for the other team, for the Chicago Bears, do you have any hope anymore that you can win with Jay Cutler? I mean, let's even talk about the decision here by Lovie Smith to go to Caleb Haney in the fourth quarter. That seemed to be quite a big mistake. I can understand Lovie Smith or Mike Martz or whoever's taking you know, responsibility for that call, to want to make that move, to make that switch to Caleb Haney. I understand that, but that was new to me. I did not understand the ruling that if you do that before the fourth quarter, those players cannot come back in the game. And that was really quite the decision. I mean, even if you want to make that switch, even if you want to, you cannot do that until the fourth quarter. I mean, all they had to do is go with Todd Collins for a couple more plays. One play even, I think it was. And then make that decision. Then make that switch. Then pull him. And at least you aren't stuck with Caleb Haney for the rest of the game. I mean, what happens if he gets injured? I suppose I shouldn't care too much about the state of the Bears affairs right now, but if you are the Bears, do you have any hope that Jay Cutler is going to lead you to a winning season, to a Super Bowl, to be the guy who's going to be the face of your franchise, be your trigger puller? I mean, I'm sure he was hurt. I mean, he got twisted around there a couple times and took a couple hits that I would not want to take. But still, I mean, just his up and down ways he's had all season long for the Bears does not inspire a whole lot of confidence there.
I don't know what you do if you're the Bears next year. I suppose you've got to go with Cutler. You've invested so much in him, unless you can trade him, and I don't know who would want to trade for him. But to be on such a big stage like this and not even put up much of an effort was just pathetic if you are the Bears. So here's Jay Cutler's stats. He was 6 of 14 for 80 yards, one interception, his passer rating 31.8. Just absolutely ugly. Todd Collins, in the limited playing time he got, was no better. Didn't even complete a single pass. 0 of 4, 39.6 passer rating. And Caleb Haney looked like he had the most success out of any of them. But, I mean, Caleb Haney was put in a no-win situation. You're the third-string quarterback, and here you are, supposed to lead your team from behind in the NFC Championship game with the Super Bowl on the line. You just can't put your third-string quarterback in that kind of position. Of course, he's going to throw interceptions, like he threw two today. Two interceptions for Caleb Haney. So credit the Green Bay defense. Credit Dom Capers for what he has done to transform this defense as he has since he came in two seasons ago. He has done an absolutely fantastic job. Hey, doesn't anybody want to call into the show here? Last week, I had so many calls, I had to decline them. And I said, is just everybody celebrating out there? Is that it? Everybody watching the trophy presentation? Here we go. Thank you for calling in. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian, it's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good.
What's on your mind?
Super Bowl, yes.
I'm loving it.
How about the special teams today?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Tim Mastay was a man amongst men today, as much as a punter can be a man. But he did an outstanding job. They were not afraid to kick away from Devin Hester. They just punted over his head a couple times.
That was awesome.
You said it. I can't add any more to that. Jared Bush downing that one ball on the 1 yard line was fantastic. I know they let the one go into the end zone, but Devin Hester was not a factor today.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Brian, and we'll see you at the Super Bowl.
Thanks a lot. Take care and happy celebrating.
Oh yeah.
Thank you for calling in. That opens up another phone line. Special teams today, fantastic, fantastic. The kickoffs, Mason Crosby seemed to place the ball well. I mean, they weren't pretty either. They haven't been all season long, but they did the job. They kept them out of Packers territory on kickoff returns at least. But Tim Mastay, really the underrated star of the game, the underrated star. For what he did. Fantastic. You know, I put up the poll, and I'm going to have to check out the results. The MVP for today's game, I mean, it has to be Sam Shields. No doubt about it. They have two interceptions and a sack. But, I mean, you know, I suppose some of those other votes could have gone to Tim Mastay for what he did in this game to keep the Packers in great field position all day long. You know, the Bears were known as being a team that gets in good field position because their special teams are so good, because Hester is so good, because Daniel Manning is so good, and Johnny Knox, you name it, any other fantastic returners, they are able to be in good field position, and it didn't happen today. Hello, you're on the air on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, this is Ross in Indiana.
Ross, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm just happy as can be. What's on your mind?
My mind? I'm just feeling great. I just had a blast. You know, I didn't watch most of the fourth quarter. I spent most of the fourth quarter nervously pacing the sidewalk outside of my house in about, 10-degree weather. When I came back in and that last interception, I just feel fantastic. I have no coherent comments. I have no precise analysis, but I'm just overjoyed. And go Pack, go.
Thanks a lot, Ross. Thanks for calling in.
Beautiful.
We'll take those two. Anybody who wants to call in and celebrate, this is the time. Take it in, folks. The Packers are going to the Super Bowl. This is what everybody's been waiting for. I said it earlier. I can't believe it happened this season. I thought this was still a building season for the Packers from the get-go, even without the injuries. I thought from the beginning this was still a team that could take the next step. I think they could definitely make a run in the playoffs. I think they would go further than they did last year when they lost in the first round to the Cardinals. I think they could win a game or two, maybe even make it to the NFC Championship game. I didn't see the Packers making the Super Bowl this year. But this is a resilient team, and it has exceeded expectations. Look at all the players that exceeded expectations this year. Tremont Williams, just huge. Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure Aaron Rodgers exceeded expectations. I mean, what he had done the previous couple of years, you knew he was able to play at this level. But just all the bodies Ted Thompson brought in, just the role players, Howard Green and Eric Walden, who were gotten at mid-season and played critical roles on this team. You know, they're not stars, but they played their hearts out this year and deserve every bit of credit they can get. Sam Shields, undrafted rookie. Think about another undrafted rookie, Frank Zombo, and the job he did this year. I know he's injured now, but think about the work those two undrafted rookies have done this year. Undrafted. You know, Frank Zombo had 4 sacks this year, and who knows, he could be coming back for the Super Bowl. To go undrafted and have that kind of production is unreal. It's a successful season if you make the team as an undrafted rookie. Who here would have been happy for Sam Shields and Frank Zombo at the beginning of the year had they just made the team? That would have been fantastic. That's how everybody feels about Nick McDonald right now, the undrafted rookie who made it on the offensive line, hasn't played a down this year, hasn't been active for a single game, but good for him. Good for him. He made the team. Maybe he'll play a role next year. But for Sam Shields, do you remember back in training camp, Sam Shields? Every word spoken about him is how he couldn't catch a punt or a kickoff. Nobody even was like really seriously considering him playing on defense. It was, can he win a kick return role for the Packers? Can that be his role on the team this year? He has 2 interceptions during the whole season, and then equals that in the biggest game of the year, the NFC Championship game. Just a great job. Just a great, great job. Brian Bulaga replacing Mark Tauscher, right tackle, veteran guy, and to play as solid as Brian Bulaga has done this year for a rookie, which I know I've harped on earlier this year, but I mean, he deserves a ton of credit too. Very bright future, and the job Brian Bulaga has done in the playoffs, he's elevated it. You know, is near the end of the regular season, I was down on Brian Bulaga. I think a lot of people were. You know, the end of the regular season, the finale against the Bears, those four penalties, that people weren't liking that too much. But then to play like he has in the playoffs, fantastic. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian, it's Jamie.
Jamie, fantastic job moderating throughout the whole game. You deserve so much credit for that. You had to approve more comments today than ever.
Oh, definitely. And it definitely got a little tense for me at the end of the game.
Yes.
I had to sit here with the computer, and I'm like, I want to be pacing. I want to be freaking out. But, yeah, I had to focus. The Super Bowl is going to be just as tough of a task. But
you're a trooper, Jamie.
The Packers are up for it. I'm up for it. So,
what else do you have?
Well, first off, go Paco. I think we're all just going to want to call in and just say woo and celebrate and drink our beers. I'm drinking the High Life right now. It's
fantastic.
And tasty. But then when I called in, you were talking about Bulaga, and I just think the offensive line did a really good job today of just handling what kind of pressures the Bears could throw at them. And I was equally impressed with Starks and Crabtree mm-hmm. holding up on blocks.
Yes.
And then I also just wanted to say, on special teams, I mean, Massey had a great team, mm-hmm. game, but the way that our gunners stayed in their lanes, and just the fact that somebody was down there all the time, because there were a couple of punts and kickoffs that were long enough that could have been returned,
mm-hmm.
but we maintained the gaps, and I just, overall, it was just such an impressive performance mm-hmm. by special teams.
Yeah, heck, one unheralded guy, I remember early in the game, Matt Wilhelm, on one of the few punts
yes.
that Devin Hester actually was able to return. Matt Wilhelm, you know, the 53rd guy on the roster, practically, maybe not that far down, but, you know, makes a nice tackle just to do that against the greatest kick return in the history of the game is great. And you mentioned about the offensive line. One thing that sticks out to me is that they really appear to be struggling in those couple series TJ Lang had to fill in. But then
yeah.
Chad Clifton came back in, and he wasn't perfect, but they really seemed to settle down a little bit and gotten a little bit of a groove.
I was definitely just impressed with the way that the non-linemen people stepped up in protection, especially Starks, just because I think while I think we can all agree he's been great for the running game, that's mm-hmm. been something we've been nervous about, is his ability to protect Rodgers. And there was a couple of plays where I saw him, you know, look for that person running in and go ahead and step up and block, and that was just great to see.
Mm-hmm. It goes to everyone.
Huge improvement, yes.
You said Tom Crabtree, John Kuhn, yes. Brandon Jackson, Andrew Corliss, they all helped out
Quinn
in the
Johnson.
Pass protection. Quinn
yeah.
Johnson, they all helped out. They all stepped in. And how many sacks did the Bears have today? Let me take a look at the stats here quick. They only had one sack on the day from Brian Urlacher.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yes.
With Peppers on the line and the fact that Clifton was out for two drives, was it? I mean, that's just amazing. And that says a lot about the way. I mean, the fact that the last time Brian Bulaga played them, he had all four penalties for our team. I think that that's a huge improvement, and I think it speaks really well to his growth and our O-line's growth and
mm-hmm.
the potential for Super Bowl and for next year, the ability to step up in these big games.
You said it. Jamie, thanks a lot for calling in, and thank you for all the work you've
call.
Done. Thanks a lot.
See no ya. Problem. Okay, bye, Brian.
I see Midwest fan David Ray commenting here. Where'd it go? Rodgers had a nice tackle, too. Was that huge or what? If Tim Mastay was the underrated player of the game, Aaron Rodgers had the underrated play of the game on that tackle. The way the defense was playing today, you knew that just as long as Rodgers could take him down, and he barely got him down, it was more tripping Brian Urlacher up, because Aaron Rodgers didn't get a big piece of him, but just enough to take him down, and the defense did their job. If I'm correct, they made them punt. Brad Maynard had another punt there. just wow. That was a huge underrated play. How about Rodgers? Little bit uncharacteristic today. I mean, he goes and sets the NFL record with 3 consecutive games with 120-plus passer rating. And he doesn't have that today. Far from it. But the Packers found a way to win. I mean, that's what this team does. The defense can win this team games. And they did today. Sam Shields, 2 interceptions. B.J. Raji, 1 interception. How about B.J. Raji? How much has he stepped up as of late? Just the huge way in which he's all of a sudden become this factor on offense. I know he's only played 2 plays, but he's getting so much attention for that. He's got the freezer nickname going for him now and the interception. And I'll tell you what, chalk that interception up to Dom Capers. Not like I'm taking anything away from B.J. Raji here, folks. But there it is. You see the zone blitz in action. B.J. Raji fakes as if he's going to blitz or rush the passer, steps back, intercepts the ball. The rest is history. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
Brian Caribou, this is Rupert.
Rupert, it's the first time I've heard your voice, Rupert. I'm glad to hear it.
Oh, no, that's not true, Brian. I called in after a game.
Did you?
Boy, what game? I know I called you after a game, though.
That's right, you might have. That was a couple weeks ago now. My memory's shot. But
I think I might have been marginally drunker for that game than I am tonight, but I'm not quite sure. We'll review that during the week, and I'll send you an email.
Sounds good.
Verify.
So what's your take on the game here?
What's my take on the game? We're going to the Super Bowl, man. What? There's no take. Come on, man. This is beautiful. Seriously, this is beautiful, man. I mean, look, okay, you want a take? Here's a take. I'm 40 years old. So the Packers went to the playoffs a grand total of 1 times between my 2nd birthday and my 23rd birthday.
Okay.
For those of you out there that are young and you know the Packers to be a successful organization, I'd like you to just consider that for a moment. look, we're better than the Bears. I think we outplayed them the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
And we won. I mean, look, we're going to the Super Bowl. This is great. I mean, my basic goal with this phone call is to just say thanks to everybody at Cheesehead TV, Aaron and Corey, yourself, man. You guys are all awesome. Jamie, who does the blogs, contributors, Holly and Al. I mean, you guys are fantastic Packers coverage, really. I mean,
thank you, Rupert.
I
think you do bring up a good point. I think there's going to be a lot of attention going forward here in the next 2 weeks about how good the Packers have been since Mike Holmgren. Ever since he's taken over, this organization has seen a lot of success, arguably some of the most success perhaps outside the Patriots in that time period. But, you know, with another Super Bowl on the line, another chance, that's going to be gaining speed this week, I think.
Well, it's hard to believe anything could escape the gaze of the media coverage for the next 2 weeks, since we know how all-encompassing it is. But for everyone out there, I made a point to say that. You look at a guy like me, who's my age, and imagine me at age 23.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Packers made the playoffs a whole total of once in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate this, okay?
You know, who was that?
Don't
was
take
that in
this
the
for granted, man.
Was that under Bart Starr in the early 80s?
That was the 1982 strike season.
Ah, that's right.
Where we were six and three, and we beat the Cardinals in a home playoff game where, if I'm not mistaken, Lambeau Field was not sold out.
Oh.
We have this long regular season sellout streak. Somebody look this up. Go ahead, all you guys. I don't believe Lambeau was sold out for the 82 playoff game against the Cards. Me, I was 12 years old and playing Dungeons and Dragons at a buddy's house for the game. But, hey, you know, that's the truth, actually.
Rupert.
No, I'm not joking. I'm dead serious, Brian. I'm dead serious. I'm not making it up. But, hey, anyway, point being, let's everybody appreciate this, but let's try to hold. Yeah, hopefully we can put another chapter in the Packers championship book. This is great, man.
Sounds good. Rupert, thanks a lot for joining us ever since we've began to know you, and this year in particular. So thanks a lot. Take care.
Yeah, BC, I owe you an email, too. There's a gentleman I found on the internet that resides here in Minnesota that managed to make a business venture out of something we emailed about, too.
We'll talk on email. Sounds good.
All right. Hey, man, go Packers anyways, huh? Let's do it.
All right. Thank you, Rupert, for calling in. I love it. There is no take. There's no take today. Just cheering. There's no take. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. What's up?
Hey, this is Ralph from Indiana again.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out, A, how incredibly stone-cold sober I am, as I was the first time that I called. And secondly, I do think that we need to give some more props to the defense. This is Aaron Rodgers' team. I loved the heart that he showed. I loved what he did in the first part of the game. But even though it was stressful, it was the defense game. Defense won the game. Defense held on to the game. Defense made all the biggest plays that we needed to make. This, you just can't say enough about Dom Capers and the defense today.
Yes, totally agree. I like the job that defensive line did early in the game. If you remember when they had the Bears backed up practically to the goal line, Ryan Pickett almost had a safety on Matt Forte. And then there was Cullen Jenkins had a tackle too. I mean, they were pretty stout at that point right there.
Uh-huh. Absolutely, absolutely. I thought the front three did fantastic. It was a little unnerving to see Caleb Haney move the ball. I won't lie. But absolutely.
Yeah,
there was moments of terror, but otherwise, you know, you were able to trust the defense, you know?
I think the Packers were in prevent defense at that time. They were going to give away any little dink and dunk they needed to, and they unfortunately, they dinked and dunked their way down the field pretty quickly on their fourth quarter touchdown drive there near the end. But, the Packers, they're in the Super Bowl. They'll take it, I think.
Fantastic. Can't wait for Cheesehead TV coverage of the Super Bowl.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Take care.
Bye now.
An encore call. We're getting encore calls at Cheesehead TV. I love it. That's great. Rupert, I think, said it. I mean, what the media coverage is going to be so intense. If it wasn't intense for the playoffs to begin with, and if it wasn't intense this week for the NFC Championship game, I mean, just imagine what it's going to be like these next 2 weeks. I don't know what more to write about anymore. Has every story been told about every player on the team? We know all about Sam Shields now. I suppose there will be more, seeing as he had a big game, but huge. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
Brian Caribou.
This Alex Talich.
The Reister. Going to the Super Bowl.
What's up?
Nothing, dude. We're going to the Super Bowl. Shaq almost wearing off, but we're going to the Super Bowl. This is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Yes.
Throughout the calls, I got less and less excited. But, you know, I'm thinking The last time this happened, no internet, no bloggers, no Twitter. It's going to be one hell of an interesting and exciting week.
It will.
Totally new experience for everybody.
I was thinking the same thing earlier today, how the last time the Packers made the Super Bowl, there was no Twitter at that time. I mean, the internet was kind of just coming into its own at the moment.
Oh, it's just going to be great. Man, you know, I'm less shocked because I thought the Packers were going to win. I thought they were going to win a little bit more convincingly, unfortunately. But, dude, finally, the whole reason I wanted to call the naked bootleg. I called it on Railroad Central. I've been calling for it for 4 years on the goal line, and they ran it, and it freaking worked. Finally.
What did you say on Railroad Central? Refresh my memory.
I said that I've been calling for the naked bootleg for 4 years, and you can mark it down that the Packers are going to do it on the goal line in the Bears game. And sure enough, they finally did, and it worked, and I'm happy because it's about time.
Yeah, I love it. I thought it was a nice little wrinkle with B.J. Raji coming in. You think that him coming into the game is almost guaranteed to be him blocking up front for whoever is going to get the ball. Who was in the back the furthest back? Was it Kuhn, I think? So, I mean, you think that they're going to run the ball, and, of course, they fake it and do the bootleg, and it worked. No, that was a great play by Mike McCarthy, I think.
Yep, and I hate to do the Favre analogy, but it just reminds me of the last great Packer touchdown I can remember, which was a naked bootleg by Favre, just getting to the flag at the end zone, and everyone was like, hurrah. It just brings back memories, and we're going to the Super Bowl. That's all I'm going to say.
Alex, thanks a lot for joining us. You got your gut reactions up, hey?
Yeah, they're up. They're ready to go. I'm going to just hang out and for like the four-hour post-game show I'm sure we're going to have today. So rocking on out. Call in, people.
Sounds good, Alex. Yeah. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, see ya. Don't think I didn't see that comment there, CD Angeli, either. I was not playing Dungeons & Dragons the last time the Packers were in the Super Bowl. I was in high school. I think I was at a friend's house, but I was living and dying with every single agonizing play watching the Denver Broncos beat the Packers the last time they were in that position. That was heartbreaking. Oh, I don't want to go back there. Let's stay in the now. Let's stay in the moment and talk about the 2010 version of the Packers. Taking another phone call here. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
This is David, a.k.a. Midwest Fan. How are you doing, Brian?
Fantastic. It's good to hear your voice, David.
Well, thank you, Brian. I just wanted to know, what was your reaction when B.J. Rodgers scored that touchdown?
I thought, and I think I kind of said it before, I was, what a great job Dom Capers has done. I mean, that's an absolute, I mean, B.J. Raji just didn't decide on his own to drop into coverage. That was a total zone blitz planned ahead of time and just executed to perfection.
I was just laughing hysterically when that happened. At that point, I knew the game was over. Then the Bears came right back down and scored a touchdown. But I knew we were going to win right when Rodgers scored that touchdown.
Yeah.
How can we lose a game in which B.J. Rodgers scored the touchdown on an interception return? I mean, you can't lose a game like that.
I wasn't able to listen to the local broadcast, but I want to know if Wayne Larrivee gave the dagger at that point. I suppose he probably didn't, but I felt like it was the dagger.
And I can vouch for Alex. He hasn't been calling for that naked bootleg for 4 years.
After 4 years, he finally got it. So,
after 4 years, I'm very happy for Alex. He finally got his naked bootleg.
It has been a long time
since. I'll get off here. I just wanted to call in and say, hey, and go, Pat, go, and good job.
Thanks a lot, David. Take care. And we got another phone call right away. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
This is Jay.
Jay, how you doing?
Oh, man.
Are you sober?
I'm trying to get over the
the pounding heart, the whew. Man, it was crazy.
It was a little closer than it should have been.
Got a pick. It was, you know, that was the thing. It was closer than it should have been. At the same time, you know, it was, I mean, I called a 7-point game. I expected a 1-score game, but after, you know, Rodgers didn't look sharp after that hit, and man, it scared the hell out of me when Haney, I never even heard of the guy, came down and scored that touchdown. Oh, Lord. Oh.
It was,
but, yeah.
Somewhere during the game, I saw somebody comment saying the Packers had their foot on the throat of the Bears, and it was like asking, is there anything I can do to make you more comfortable? Like, you know, like being very gracious to the Bears, like leaving them in the game, doing them a favor, you know, by giving them a
exactly.
chance.
That's what I kept. That was the same thing we did. You know, we've done that in a few games now this year. And I look back at that, and I, you know, I was yelling this during the Falcons game too. I was like, okay, you've got your boot on their throat. Don't let up. And in this game, you know, the offense started sputtering, and I'm thinking, oh no, they're gonna let them back in. I just know it. And then PJ Rocky with a pick six. Oh my God, I laughed. I couldn't stop laughing.
I think everybody
was. It was the weirdest thing.
Yep.
And, the Super Bowl. Last time this happened, I was, oh, man. I wasn't too far out of high school.
Yeah.
That was just after I joined the service. Wow. I'm just totally, totally beyond stoked right now.
Good to hear.
Oh, man.
About the offense there, the Packers seem to be missing a piece that keeps them from putting the games away. And maybe that missing piece is Jermichael Finley. Maybe it wouldn't been so close
Definitely.
Had they had him.
Well, if Corliss would have caught that one pass, the third down pass that whizzed right through his hands, see, that's one of those times, and we've done this several times during the season. Have you ever seen the Corliss not quite a catch and just said, like, right there on the spot, Finley would have caught that?
Yes, that's happened several times
it
this
happened
year.
Even in the Redskins game, right after he came out.
Yep.
You know, there was that one pass down on the sideline that went right through Corliss's hands, and he's a little bit shorter, and he's athletic. Corliss is good, but he's, you know, he's raw, and he's, and you just saw that pass, and it was just like this one today in this game. You just saw that pass, and you say, Finley would have caught that.
Yeah.
And that would have probably changed the game right there.
The following series, they went right out to Corliss again. They did a little bootleg there, and, I mean, it wasn't the greatest throw in the world, but that landed incomplete, and you just had the feeling like, you know, maybe Finley does catch that, you know. Yeah. Corliss, he's still got a long way to go.
Well, I think he's got potential. I mean, this is a guy that's going to be, I mean, you know, Donald Lee isn't going to be around forever, and I think he's going to be a solid number two.
Absolutely. I agree.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks a lot for calling in. You got one more take?
The offense got to look a little bit better, a little bit sharper against either the Jets or the Steelers' defense. Man, I know the Bears' defense is solid, but those AFC defenses are rough, so I hope the offense learns from this game and really puts it out there in the Super Bowl.
Bring
that Lombardi home.
You said it. The task doesn't get any easier against the Steelers or the Jets. Their defenses
exactly.
are just as good, if not better. So, hey, thanks a lot for calling in, and enjoy it, soak it up, and join us during the Super Bowl.
Hey, thanks for having me. Go Packers.
Yeah, take care. See ya. I think Corliss, remember, he kind of is having the exact same rookie year Jermichael Finley had. So don't give up on Corliss yet, folks. Don't give up on him. You remember, Jermichael Finley was inactive most of his rookie season, didn't even play a whole lot. So Corliss is ahead of him in that regard. He's getting valuable experience and is even playing a little bit. And he, hopefully at this time next year, he will be in position where he's succeeding like Finley did. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian.
Yep.
I want you to roll a D6 for initiative and then attack with a magic missile.
So what does that mean? That's
I have no idea.
That's Dungeons and Dragons.
I had to look it up quickly on the internet just so I knew what to say. How you doing, buddy?
I'm a pig in shit.
I'll bet you are. Just like the rest of us. Holy moly. This is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. It is still sinking in.
Yeah, it's two more weeks of heaven if you're a Packers fan. I mean, it's watching football two more weeks from now with the ultimate prize on the line.
Mm-hmm. You know what's really weird, Brian, is I remember 96 and 97 very distinctly, that there was such a buildup over the previous years that it was always like, okay, this is our year. Mm-hmm. When we hit 96, I mean, everyone was predicting the Packers to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you went in through the whole season with that expectations. I mean, that was it. This season has been question marks. It's been ups and downs. Mm-hmm. We've had injuries. Are we going to even make the playoffs at all? God, we can make the sixth seed. Mm-hmm. Now we're on the road. It's so different from those teams in the 90s where you expected that. This is all, it's all so surprising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Packers, if my calculations are correct, they became the NFC's first number six seed to make the Super Bowl and the first team to beat number one, number two, and number three team seeds on their way to the Super Bowl. So, hey, I know what you mean. During the Holmgren era there, it was every year they had gotten better a little bit. You know, it was like they reached the playoffs was the first goal, and then they win in the first round, and then they win in the second round, and then there was like 2 years they got to the championship and lost, and it just kept building when it's like this team under McCarthy's kind of had starts and goes, and they get to the NFC championship game and follow that year without even making the playoffs in 2008. And then this year they're up and down and they lose back-to-back to the Dolphins and the Redskins at midseason. And you didn't know where this team was going to be.
No, and months ago you wouldn't even predicted this. Even after the Patriots game, we had no idea this was going to happen. This is really something to treasure. It's something to savor because those teams in the 90s, we were number one seeds.
Mm-hmm.
We were expected with home field advantage to go all the way.
Yep.
We didn't have those expectations. This is a bonus Super Bowl.
So, CD, you write the report card after every game. Can we get a preview of what the grades might be off the cuff? Is it what's the offense defense going to get today?
Well, you know, if I were to write it right now, it would be A pluses for everything. So I probably just because. You know, we're going to the Super Bowl. How can you not give an A-plus for that?
You have to grade on a curve, that's for sure. You have to grade on a curve.
Well, I've got to sober up and calm down, and then, of course, you know, I'll be a little more rational in my grades. But right now it's all A-pluses because we're going to the Super Bowl.
It's fantastic. It's you have to be a little bit of a lenient grader just for the fact that they won. I mean, it at this time of year, it doesn't matter if it's pretty or not. It's that they're in the Super Bowl and playing for the Lombardi Trophy, you know, and it doesn't matter if it looked pretty getting there.
Well, it was the furthest thing from pretty, but luckily you don't get style points.
Absolutely. Anything else?
Those have been the extra credit points. That's all I got, sir, but my gosh, 2 weeks, this is just going to be awesome. Favorite Packer fans, Super Bowl!
Thanks a lot, CD. Take care.
All right. Good job, Brian. Bye-bye. Yep.
Folks, before I take any more calls, let me take a break. I'm going to stick with you here. On a day that the Packers are going to the Super Bowl, I will extend this post-game show. But, hey, I'm grabbing another beer, and I'm sticking with you. Give me a minute here, and I'll be back shortly. So hang on. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on the Cheesehead TV post-game show. We'll do another segment here on Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. And thanks for sticking around with us, everyone. Alex, I saw that the Grateful Dead-esque trip to Dallas. Who knows? I might even be down for that. So we'll talk later. We will see. But here it is, folks. Once again, the sound of victory. That sounds good to me. The Packers on their way to the Super Bowl. Let me take a look at some of the defensive statistics today while we wait for any other phone calls to roll in here. Feel free at any time if anybody wants to call in. Desmond Bishop, 8 tackles today. Nick Collins, 6 tackles. And I don't have to wait long. Here we go. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian, this is Jim, Mr. McParty on Twitter.
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Much better after that field pick, I'll tell you what. Kind of an up-and-down game, I tell you. I never voiced it, never tweeted it, never texted nothing, but I had a pretty special feeling about this team a few weeks back. And I had a feeling that this could be it. And kind of missed not being in Wisconsin. I'm one of the General Motors transplants down here in KC.
I see, and you kept the 608 area code as it popped up, so I could tell you're from the Wisconsin area, at least. You're from Janesville?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Very good. Well,
Last time I was at a Packers game, would have been the 97 season. I went to 2 away games. They lost both of them. one was in the Silver Dome. The other was in San Diego at the Super Bowl.
You went to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I was there.
Wow. That had to be a tough ticket to get even back that many years ago, I'm sure.
Well, it was tough. And then, you know, after that, it was really tough just to get the ticket prices for the home games got to be very, very high, and they were hard to come by. So I never really went. I haven't even been to a Packer game since then. Down here in KC, rooting my Packers on. I'll be watching, definitely. I work third shift, so I think I'll be taking that Sunday night off of work. But just wanted to call and say, hey, go Pack, and I love what you're doing on Cheesehead TV there.
Sounds good. Take care in KC. Join us next week.
All right.
2 weeks. See you later.
All right, you bet.
Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us? Hello? Are you there? Nope. I guess not. But that opens up another line. Feel free to call in. 646-797-2909. The phone number's on the screen. Packers have 2 sacks on the day. It looks like from the official statistics, they've credited Sam Shields with 1 sack, of course, which he deserved. And then it looks like they gave Cullen Jenkins and Clay Matthews each 0.5 sack. That's the official statistics here, or at least the ones I'm reading from ESPN. Did it me, or did it seem like Cullen Jenkins deserved that sack? I don't know. It's now so hours ago, and it's a little fuzzy in my memory now, and I'd have to rewatch it, I suppose. But it seemed to me that that could have been a Cullen Jenkins sack, like as he deserved it, in my mind. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us? Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, you're on the air.
I'm not sure what's going on here, but this caller, it was the exact same phone number each time. You're killing me. Midwest fan says it was a split sack. Huh? Regardless, it was pretty good game by both Cullen Jenkins and Clay Matthews today. I was pretty impressed with the job both of them did. Especially early in the game for Cullen Jenkins. He had, if I'm correct, Cullen Jenkins only had a couple tackles, and they were both tackles for a loss. Yeah, here we go. Looking at the statistics, Cullen Jenkins credited with only two tackles on the day, both tackles for a loss. So there we go. I mean, that it doesn't get much better than that. Packers defense playing with a little bit of musical outside linebackers on the day. Musical outside linebackers. After Eric Walden went down, and that was a shame to lose him, I'd be interested to find out what his status is. Hopefully he won't be missing the Super Bowl. The Packers could certainly use him. They went with Rob Francois and even a little bit of Dyrell Briggs. And they certainly didn't do much of anything. I mean, Rob Francois might have had a tackle or something in there, but neither of them did much of anything. In fact, Francois dropped back in coverage from an inside linebacker spot several times. He kind of shifted over to ILB and just kind of was doing some underneath coverage there and keeping things in front of him, and I suppose that's what you want him to do, and he did do that fine. He kept the passes in front of him and came up a couple times. But it's certainly the Packers are, you don't want Rob Francois and Dyrell Briggs being your outside linebacker. You want Eric Walden and maybe even Frank Zombo here. Frank Zombo now has 2 weeks to get ready. It seems like almost every week you kind of been wondering here, is he ready? Is he close to returning? And Mike McCarthy keeps saying, we give him a chance. And it hasn't really came to fruition at all. Special teams being much better today, you have to wonder how much of a role Corey Hall and Atari Bigby played. Those two being active for the first time in about a month for Corey Hall and Atari Bigby. They are looking. I mean, you have to be happy with the way the special teams played today. No doubt about it. The people who were inactive in their stead today looked to be Jarius Wynn was inactive for the first time in a couple weeks. And I suppose that's a good choice if you're the Packers. They did not need Jarius Wynn today. They could get by with their starting three defensive linemen in the 3-4, Raji, Pickett, and Jenkins. And you've got Howard Green in there, rotating in addition to C.J. Wilson. It didn't seem like they need Jarius Wynn, so I think that's okay if the Packers do that. And then the other one who was inactive today came a little bit of a surprise, was Pat Lee, cornerback, who had been doing pretty good, in my opinion, on special teams as one of those gunners opposite Jarrett Bush on punts, things like that. He seems to me to have been the better player than Brandon Underwood this year. Pat Lee was on the injury report all week, but I think he had full participation, even though he had an injury listed. He was participating fully all week long. And, you know, So that came as a surprise prior to the game, a minor surprise, I suppose. I analyze things probably a little bit more than most. But, seeing as he participated fully, I was expecting Pat Lee to play. And we will see whether Pat Lee is active during the Super Bowl or not, and whether Brandon Underwood isn't. We got 2 weeks to get to that point. Speaking of the Super Bowl, I suppose we're looking at about a 5 o'clock game. It usually is Central Time. Perhaps a little bit ahead of that, 4:30 or so. So be prepared for that, folks. If anybody else wants to call in here, before we wrap it up here on the day. If I don't get any calls, I might just wrap it up as I let everybody celebrate in their own way and or watch the AFC Championship game here. So if anybody wants to call in, feel free. We'll take a couple more. Otherwise, we will find out here. While I wait, while I sit back for a couple minutes here, if anybody else wants to call in, Packers having two turnovers on the day. Again, one of these situations where they don't have to be perfect to win. And that's the way it's been all postseason long. They overcame turnovers in the Philadelphia game on the road. They overcame those early struggles against Atlanta in the divisional round. A turnover and then the kickoff return for a touchdown for Eric Weems. And then the Packers twice, two turnovers, including that critical one to by Brian Urlacher on the goal line. Packers do not have to be perfect. They just have to be resilient. That's how they've been all postseason long, all season long. Really a great team that has been, it's been that way. You know, Mike McCarthy has kind of instituted that, that feeling, that environment in the Packers locker room. And, it's just a next one up attitude as the Packers take. I see the poll across the bottom of the screen that we posted so long ago. Who do you feel more comfortable with at left tackle? And overwhelmingly, Chad Clifton. Overwhelmingly. You know, I had the feeling that Chad Clifton was going to be the overwhelming majority there, but to see him get 97% of the vote, I suppose that's what really surprised me. I see CeeDee Angeli asking, who do I think the Packers match up better with? And kind of off the cuff here, I would say the New York Jets, just because the Packers beat them already this year. Halloween, October 31st in New York, they beat them on the road. So I would say off the cuff, and last I checked during the break, I saw the Steelers were up 7-0. But I need a little bit more time, I suppose, to think about who they match up better with off the cuff. I haven't been watching the Steelers too close this season. Well, I see a Fondy High student. Whoever that is, Fondy High, who I had for broadcast journalism. Thanks for watching and thanks for your kind comments. I love teaching all you guys too. So, Packers will face either the Steelers or the Jets. It comes down to that. And we'll take a phone call. Hello, you're on the Cheesehead TV postgame show. Who do we have joining us? Hello.
Hey, I was just calling into the show.
Who is this?
This is Brent.
Brent, how you doing today?
Yeah. I'm doing good.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to know who you thought was a better matchup against us in the Super Bowl, the Jets or the Steelers.
I kind of was just trying to answer that a little bit. The Packers have already beaten the Jets once this year. You know, they beat them 9-0 on the road. They shut out the Jets in their home stadium. So I kind of like the way the Packers, you know, match up with them because they've beaten them already in a tough environment.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was just wondering your insight as I'm watching this game here.
Fantastic. Are the Steelers still up 7-0, Brent?
Yes, they are.
They are. Fantastic. Thanks a lot for calling in, and take care.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks, Brent. And yeah, I mean, the Packers played the Jets already, and I mean, if this score holds up, it looks like it'll be the Steelers. And I suppose the last time the Packers played the Steelers, you got to go back to last season. Packers played them on the road in Heinz Stadium, and Ben Roethlisberger did a number on the Packers last year. You might remember he tore them up pretty good in pass defense. And everybody thought at the time, what is this defensive backfield of the Packers doing? That was the game Tremont Williams got the nickname Admiral Armbar, if I'm correct. Or that might have been the Ravens game, was it? It was a nationally televised game. Anyhow, the entire defensive backfield did not play very well the last time they faced the Steelers. Al Harris, especially the linebackers, did not look good. A.J. Hawk in coverage, Nick Barnett, they didn't look good either. Brandon Underwood was playing a role at that time. Heck, even one of those, it's one of those far down the roster lists of on the injured reserve was playing a defense cornerback role. Remember when Santonio Holmes scored that touchdown? Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. You're live. Who do we have joining us?
This is Colleen.
Colleen, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Brian?
Good. Ma'am, should I call you ma'am?
Please don't. That's reserved for Banky and Nagler.
Oh, sounds good. So I saw you were enjoying the game today.
It was fabulous. The Packer Park here in Boise it's gotten progressively more busy every week, but it was insane today.
Is it exclusively Packers there?
The guy that owns it is a fan. He's got his banner outside. He's got his Cheesehead and his helmet by the big TV. And there were 3 Bears fans there today, and I think they wanted to die by the time that the game was over.
Very good. I just love it that in Boise, Idaho, there's a Packers bar out there. That's great. I suppose they'll be doing great business 2 weeks from now for Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, definitely.
What else do you have to say, Colleen? What's your take today?
The only thing I wanted to say is, because I'm so much older than most of you guys, is this one means more than when Brett took us to the 2. And I can say that safely because that one meant a lot because I was a baby when Super Bowl 1 was played.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get that. 1 or 2, you know, I watched them, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
My dad tells me. but this one's special. This is amazing.
Do you say that in hindsight, though, because of what Brett Favre has done now? I mean, after all these things have come out, all these allegations about Jen Sturger, et cetera, does it mean more now that you found that out since that time?
The minute Brett signed with the Vikings, it meant more.
Well played. I can understand that.
Aaron's been through so much. He really has. And, you know, people make the point on Twitter and on the blogs, and they're right. We don't really know these guys. We obviously didn't really know Brett. But I have to say that seeing Aaron's face today was priceless. The kid has been through, oh, my God, he's been through so much. And he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You know, the whole team deserves it. Woodson, Driver especially, but I'm really proud of these guys, but I'm really happy for Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has just handled everything like a pro. He's just been professional the whole time, and this goes back prior to this week where he seemed to handle all the negative attention with the cancer patient pretty well. But I mean, just go back to when Brett Favre was, will he or won't he come back? Will he unretire? And you name it, that 2007 season or right before 2008 season, the training camp and how Aaron handled it. It is pretty something special.
It's amazing, and I will confess that I was the biggest TT hater that year. I wanted to come back. I thought Aaron was going to pull his hammy. going to the beer for or the fridge for a beer, I was I didn't hate Aaron. I liked him, but I really thought it was a disaster waiting to happen, and I am so wrong, and thank you. Thank you. I am so wrong.
I hear you. I mean, there were a lot of people mad at Ted Thompson at the time, and he's turned them into believers, and I think he'll have even more after they led him to the Super Bowl here this year. So it is interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go have your beer, Ryan, and celebrate. You've been too patient with all of this, but I just wanted to say go, Pat, go, and thank you to everybody. This has been really cool.
Thanks a lot, Colleen. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Colleen, also found in Idaho on Twitter, writes on pocketdoppler.com. Check her work out. She always has a weekly column on Pocket Doppler and will be up later this week, I am positive. Ted Thompson, really coming a long way. He had to get a lot of converts over since 2008 when Brett Favre left. He's had to change. He's had a long way to come to change a lot of minds, and I think he has. You know, from the way he's handled Aaron Rodgers to the way he drafts. I mean, how many draft picks are there that Ted Thompson has hit on? Way more than he's missed on. Way more. And these, it is these small, little-known players that he's getting the most out of. And he really is doing a fantastic job. Hey, folks, enjoy this win, the Super Bowl. I'm going to take off here, folks, and watch the rest of the AFC Championship game, see who the Packers are going to play. Going to have the Chips report up later today and later tonight. And anyhow, enjoy it, folks. Have a good time. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. This evening for Jamie Jors, our moderator, Alex Talich out there at the Packers Lounge, and Aaron Nagler and Corey Banky in Chicago reporting on the site. We will have coverage from them later on this evening throughout the rest of the week as we get ready for some Green Bay Packers Super Bowl coverage here on Cheesehead TV. Take care, everyone. We will see you later. Go Pack, go. Take care.